The scripture reading is Luke 19:1-10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. I love that line. He was just passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see Jesus. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And now it is my pleasure to introduce our interim pastor, Dan Horn.
Good morning. Thank you,
Kim. Good morning.
Am I heard? Am I visual and audible?
I can see you and I can hear you.
That was really well read. You must be a Toastmaster. That was very animated. We could get you on audiobook there, Caroline. Thank you so much. Good to be here. I need to make sure everyone can hear because I do every once in a while get the classic, "I only heard half of what you said today." That's probably a good thing for many of you. But it's nice to be here. Driving in on a Tuesday morning, I saw your big, beautiful, is that a water tower of some description? And Twyla Paris is on my stereo. And I have a used new vehicle now, so I can hear the music a little bit nicer. And she's singing, "He is exalted. The Lord is exalted on high. I will praise him." I can't sing like Twyla. I wish I could. "He is exalted. The Lord is exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord. Forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth exalt in his holy name. He is exalted. The Lord is exalted on high." And I looked at the leaves and the creation just screaming the glories of God. And then I came into the Tuesday morning coffee group and looked at all these beautiful people who know and love Jesus and treat me with such kindness. And I thought, wow, I am so thankful for Mount Forest First Baptist Church and to be part of your congregation for such a time as this. So thank you. We're going to jump into the Word today as it was just read in Luke. Dr. Luke has a couple of wonderful things to say about Thanksgiving that we can be really thankful for. But I have to tell you, before we begin and before I pray, I had a connection with Bob and Gail Greenwood. Now, they're not here, and that's probably a good thing. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're working on humility in your life and pride is a problem, be a golfer. Try and learn how to golf. I've been trying for a while, and I'm supposed to be pretty good, but I'm telling you, I never know who's going to show up. So a couple of months ago, I'm with my buddy Gordy, who is a really accomplished golfer, and you get that feeling when you step up to the pairing you got, and the pairing was a 9-year-old girl and her dad. So I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be an okay day, right? We'll encourage the 9-year-old. We'll look good on the golf course. My buddy Gord steps up and duffs one about 10 yards, and this 9-year-old sends a ball about 175 yards. She's 9. and all golf day long, she hit every fairway right in the center, 175, 175, putt. I think she parred every hole. So I got crushed by a 9-year-old that day. Only one thing worse than getting crushed by a 9-year-old. I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but she's over 80. And Gail Greenwood. You know, we step up to the green, and Bob and Gail over at Pike Lake, you know, we're a little bit short off the tee, and then all of a sudden Gail locks it in. Right down the middle, about 200 yards every time, right on every fairway. And me and dear old Bob Greenwood got crushed by Gail. And yeah, I'm thankful for the gift of humility, although it doesn't feel great. So, Gail, when you listen to this, you've prepared me for preaching because you got to approach this word of God with great humility. So thanks, Gail and Bob, for this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are just thankful again for a chance to take a look at you in all your glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Carolyn has prayed, we are thankful for who you are and your revelation of your person. And today, as we look at how you treat different people, we want to come under your authority and proclaim you as Lord and say, indeed, you are exalted above all things. And we submit ourselves to your beautiful, kind, humbling care. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before Jesus has the interaction with Zacchaeus and he's passing through, he's going somewhere. Do we know where Jesus is going in this little dialogue in Luke, where he's passing through, where he's going, and why? Anybody, you're allowed to chip in here. My questions are not rhetorical. I do expect an answer. You know where he's going? Not sure? He's heading to the cross. Where's our cross in this church? Oh, Jack, you made a beautiful cross. It's out there. There it is. He's heading across. He's on his way. He's passing through to a very nasty, very humble death. And on his way, he's having conversations and he's running into people and he's stopping along the way to die for the sins of the world. And it's amazing how he interacts. Thank you. How he interacts with people. He's in this conversation and the disciples are with him and they're bringing their little, there's little children all over the place, and the disciples get a little bit irritated. This is just back in the dialogue in Luke chapter 18. People are bringing babies to Jesus. They're placing their hands on him, and the disciples get a little bit irritated. See, Jesus is on mission. He's on mission. Do you know what his mission is in the world? Big companies have mission statements, right? Mark, what's a mission statement of all that? Correct? Need it. Are you kidding or is that it? So every company has a mission, right? Jesus has a mission. Was that supposed to be funny, Mark? I love it. So Microsoft has a mission. Apple has a mission. Disney's mission, we will make you happy. I have a personal favorite, Starbucks, to change our communities. Go ahead. Yeah, one cup, one individual at a time, and I'm like, yeah, drink that, and that's going to improve your quality of life. I think it improves the quality of life of the Starbucks owners, but your quality of life, the more Starbucks you drink, it might go down a little bit. There's missions. What is a mission of Jesus? Yeah. Good. Reconciliation, to seek and to save the lost. He's on mission to seek and to save the lost. He actually is noticing the lost. I don't know what the mission of your company or your life is, but as you're on mission, don't forget, God will send people into the mix so you can fulfill your mission while you're on your mission. And there's a bunch of little kids around there and irritating everyone. And Jesus says, no, you bring them to me. Luke 18, verse 17, because I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a little kid is not going to enter it. So while you and I are thankful for everything, let's remember the kingdom is activated like little kids. I went to the pumpkin patch yesterday. I have a niece who's got three little kids. And I have to tell you, parents, wow. Wow. What you do every day with the kids is magnificent. I had 6 hours with my niece and her children and my wife yesterday. I laid down at 9 o'clock last night, like that, exhausted, and I woke up at 5 o'clock, slept perfectly through the night. Great way to be energized. We're at the pumpkin patch, and no screens, no cell phones, no TV, nothing of the, and there's pumpkins, and there's leaves, and there's goats. I literally had my nieces running up to me, these little kids, saying that was the best day of the year. In the childlike simplicity of enjoying what God has made. They were delirious. And they just loved these little, those little white pumpkins. They were so excited about, I mean, I spent some money, but this to them was the most enchanting, beautiful, and they love putting together these little rings, and their mom's a bit of a decorator, and I'm thinking, oh, the simplicity of children is great to remember, and Jesus says, if you receive the kingdom like kids, you will enter it, and all of a sudden, at the end of that phrase, Jesus runs into someone who has absolutely no clue what this is about, and we call him in Scripture, the rich young ruler. Because most companies with their missions, it's about wealth, power, and let's stay young and healthy. And their rich young ruler shows up to Jesus and has a conversation right after that little dialogue. And don't forget, we're heading to Zacchaeus because we're going to the cross. And the rich young ruler asks Jesus a question. Do we remember what it is? What, thank you, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit? He was a rich young ruler. Do you know what he was ruling? We sometimes read the Bible and we don't take a moment to say, well, wait a minute, he's a ruler. What's he ruling? Do anyone know? You can say. Thank you. He's the ruler of a synagogue. He is over the religious establishment at the time. He's got power, control, great influence, and incredible respect. Power, control, influence, and respect. And he says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit? If you've received an inheritance or given one away, you know that's a bit of an oxymoronic statement because you don't do anything to inherit. In fact, the one thing you do when you do inherit something is you simply say, thank you. He has no understanding of the gospel of Jesus because he thinks he can do something to gain it. And if you and I aren't careful, we'll get into these little spaces every once in a while where we think we have to do something to earn it or gain it. And I want to remind you again, as I did in our little message that was sent out on, is it called MailChimp? MailChimp, sorry. Jesus understood the beauty and the value of saying thank you, and you receive the gospel every day by saying thanks. I believe this man came up to Jesus with all of his power, wealth, youth, and experience. He was probably a great golfer too. And I think he wanted Jesus to respond, well, you've done it all. You're in. And applaud him in front of his colleagues. Because that's what Phariseeism, that's what self-righteousness, that's what Christianity on my terms means. Look at me. I've made it. And Jesus says to him, when he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He flatters Jesus with the phrase, good teacher. And Jesus, in great rabbinical tradition, asks a question with a question and says, well, why do you call me good? Great question. Because if you call Jesus good in ancient Palestine, when we all know only God is good, Are you calling me Lord and Savior and God? And the man is not. He doesn't call him Lord. He doesn't call him Sir like others do. He calls him good teacher. You will get along with people very well in this generation if you call Jesus a good teacher. No one has a problem with that. But when we see scene two in this little drama, you'll find out why it gets a little bit complicated. Jesus says, good question, no one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, and Jesus lists four easy commandments to obey. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness. And he says, check, check, check. And many of you and I could probably say, well, we haven't done any of that either. But when Jesus says, if you've looked at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart, and if you are angry at your brother, you committed murder, Jesus takes the law to the point where it's an impossibility. And for this man to literally say, well, I've done this since my youth, it's ironic because in Psalm 14, it says the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God, any who do good, any who understand. All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. See, he doesn't understand that all he has to do to receive the inheritance is say thank you, run into the arms of Jesus like my nieces did yesterday. And they literally said to me at the end of that day, this has been the best day of the year. Well, Jesus looked at him very sad and said, if you want to earn it, if you want things on your terms, no problem. Just sell everything you have and come and follow me. And he walks away very sad because he's a self-made person. And Jesus continues on his way to the cross and mentions to the disciples after this man is completely walks away sad, they said, who can enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus uses that beautiful phrase, with man, this is impossible. With God, thank you. With God, everything, all things are possible. And then he talks about the cross. I'm going to be beaten, spit on, rejected. I'm not the Messiah you're thinking about that's going to rule and reign and control. I'm not that Messiah. I'm going to be beaten, bruised, rejected. He tells them that, and then they're very quiet. And out of the crowd, while he's still passing through, so glad you emphasized that, Caroline, it's going to come up. He's passing through, and he hears from the crowd a screaming, crazed voice. See, while he's walking, the crowd's building because this may or may not be the Messiah. Everybody's curious. And on the side of the road, there's a man, and he whispers to one of his friends, what's going on? Because he's blind. He can't see. He's got his arms in front of him. And he asks the crowd, what's going on? They say, Jesus of Nazareth is walking through. And this man, whose name is Bartimaeus, can't see. And he says, that's what I've been waiting for. Unlike the rich young ruler, this man knows exactly who Jesus is. And he just yells at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He screams. And they say, it's delicate in our translations. They kindly, gently, they told him to be quiet. The Greek's very clear. Shut up, you idiot. It's very derogatory. It's shut up. He yells even louder. Jesus, Son of David, I know your messianic line. I know the king you're going to be. Have mercy on me. And what I find really beautiful is Jesus tells the people telling him to shut up, can you get him to come to me? And what I love about Jesus is he identifies not only with this man, but he identifies with the title Son of David. Now, if you look at David's history and you vet David, and David's one of your friends, yeah, Goliath, that was cool. Yeah, Abigail, you got a really rock-solid wife in her. But what about that Bathsheba, Uriah incident, and you died an angry, bitter old man telling your general, Joab, to go murder everybody you didn't like? David doesn't end well. And Jesus has no problem being identified with David. And he has no problem being identified with you and me. Great Savior. Great Savior. And he says to this man, it almost sounds derogatory. He looks at him while he's screaming away, and he says, what would you like me to do for you? Now, that is amazing, Luke, Dr. Luke. You rich young ruler, what do I need to do to be saved? This is the better question. Jesus says, what do you want me to do? And the answer is, he's done it all. And it almost sounds a little bit harsh on the man because clearly he wants to see. But in that culture, if you were blind, you were offering a service. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. You were offering a service to very spiritual people to look good for giving you some alms. So if you were to give the blind man some money, he would yell out, thank you for blessing God. Thank you for serving God. So there is a role to play. And in a beautiful way, Jesus says, are you ready to follow me? Because you're not going to rely on the culture of giving and serving the poor anymore. And this guy says boldly, yes, I want to be made well. He says, Lord, he doesn't say good teacher. Sir, Lord. When you say Lord in ancient Palestine under Roman rule, we have no king but Caesar. You're saying, you're my king, David, son of David. Isn't that precious? And this blind man says, King, God, Savior, I would like to receive my sight, which is a very treasonous, insurrectionist term that you get a lot of trouble for. Of course, Jesus says, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And you know what Bartimaeus did from then on? Church history tells us. He followed Jesus right to that cross. He watched him die. And he became one of the best, strongest church leaders in church history. Can you imagine Bartimaeus at that cross? And everybody's just devastated. He's dying. Our Savior is dying. And I can hear Bartimaeus whispering to a friend, no way. I heard him say he's going to rise on the third day. I've seen what this man can do. I felt what this man can do. You watch. And as he's passing through, he keeps going, and he runs into another individual named Zacchaeus, and that's our attention today. You see, he's not supposed to be passing through. When you're a rabbi like Jesus, and you're very, very well known, there would be a banquet with all the important Pharisees and the rich people prepared for you, like at Simon's house on another occasion. He's not supposed to be passing through. He's supposed to be staying to honor the people of that region, and Jesus is focused on moving on to the cross. So he's already insulted them by rejecting the rich young ruler, by healing the guy who is obviously blind because he's sinful, and he should stay in his state. He insults them again, and now he's really going to insult them the third time with our friend Zacchaeus. So he's passing through. You're not supposed to pass through. You're supposed to be entertained. And they're a little irritated. So he enters Jericho, and there's a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector. Do you know how that system works, friends? Tax collecting? Thank you. I will tell you. There is a tax farming system where you go to Rome, you get your region. So let's just say Betty was our chief tax collector. Okay, Betty? You get the whole region of Mount Forest. And you're going to go, all right, who are the toughest thugs in the town to go exact taxes from all the people in the region? I'm going to get them on my team. And we're going to go to Rome and say, okay, you need X amount of dollars. I'm the chief. I got my team together. I got that region. I'm going to give you your whatever thousands of dollars a year. And then whatever else, I get to keep. It's a horrible system. So the synagogue, the rich young ruler, would have labeled him, kicked him out. You cannot be part of this community. You can't eat with him. You can't have fellowship with him. Don't go near him. He is totally rejected. That's why when you hear the dialogue in the New Testament, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. They had a different category for a tax collector and a sinner, the bad people. They had categories of sinners, just like we do today. We label people. I'll hang out with these people, but that's where I draw the line. Shun them. And we have our categories. And that's what's going on. And he's an extorter from Rome. The percentage is he can take like 23% of what he takes. It's incredible research to find out how this works. And of course, it says, I love this. And he was seeking to see Jesus. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Man, will that preach? Rejected, horrible tax collector, but he's seeking to see who Jesus was. Can you look at people this week, and I'll do the same? Two things can be true at once. They can be really problematic where they're at, but they can also be seeking to see who Jesus is. I have a beautiful friend, and he struggles deeply with mental illness. And there's moments where we are in incredible, tight fellowship. And then one day he said, I don't trust you. Your Christianity is a sham. I'm out of here. Loves Jesus, preaches, leads worship, incredibly gifted human being. And then, I don't trust you, Dan. Your Christianity is a sham. You and your wife are well-meaning people, but you are totally deceived. Don't see him for a few months. Hook him up with a friend in Muskoka who gives him a job, gives him a home, gives him a family, looks after him, and he walks away from that scenario. And I got so upset one day, I said, Julie, I'm writing this guy. I'm sick of this guy. I'm writing him off. I can't ride the roller coaster of, yeah, I love Jesus, I'm in the church, and now I'm doing this. I can't ride it anymore. And I kind of walked away from the friendship. And I called one of my cousins who was the builder who's looking after him. Beautiful guy. I'll tell you his name, Mark Jurgenite. And he said, Dan, the story is not over yet. Young guy struggling with the illness called me, and I'm sorry, Dan. I started reading my Bible again, dropped some of the bad habits. He's back in Muskoka, building, getting a real estate license, about to get married, and it's going exceedingly well. People's stories are not over, and Zacchaeus's is not, and neither is yours or mine. So he's seeking Jesus. And that little phrase, gang, in the Greek, he was seeking to see Jesus. It was an ongoing, continuous effort to see Jesus. Is that you? Is that me? That ongoing, continuous effort to look at Jesus as the Son of God. I'm kind of excited about that Mark Bible study. I got to plug into that if I can. So, verse 4, he ran ahead and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. He ran, he climbed in a sycamore tree. And interesting. The blind man gets it. I'm going to become like a little child and just cry out for the mercy of God. Zacchaeus gets it. I'm going to become... Children run in ancient Palestine. Children climb trees in ancient Palestine. The same today. You ever go down to Bay Street in Toronto where the financial district is with all the blue suits and red ties? Go have a look and see if any of those guys run or any of them climb trees. That is so undignified. And why would the Bible say he climbed a sycamore tree? It's interesting. Sycamore trees have these beautiful, long branches that kind of come out, and there's thick foliage, so they're short little trees that you can actually, they're cool climbing trees. But they're meant for building rafters in buildings with those. And if your sycamore fig tree is planted in your backyard, if there's any bylaw people in the house today or listening, if your sycamore fig tree goes over in someone else's property, which happens easily, you can't plant it there. So they have these bylaws. You can only plant sycamore fig trees outside certain meterages and yardages away from town. So there's a bunch of them. And he runs ahead because it says the crowd and his stature and his occupation was hindering him from seeing Jesus. I love the way Billy Graham handled this. Billy Graham preaches on this if you go into classics on YouTube. And Billy Graham talks about the obstacles that you and I face in seeing Jesus. We all have our own. But in particular, it says the crowd was keeping him from seeing Jesus, or the press. Anybody been in, I know we've been social distancing for so long, but anybody been in a tight crowd where you're really pressed and compressed? So if you're a little guy and the whole town hates you and you're in a little press, it's real easy for someone to slip a knife out, slice you, and by the time the crowd goes, you're dead and no one knows. He knows if I go into a crowd, I'll die. He knows. So he runs outside in this little tree, which always speaks to the veracity, the truth of Scripture. Because why would you put that detail in there if you weren't an eyewitness? Luke sees him running. Luke sees him climbing the tree. It's amazing. again, unless you become like little children, you're not getting into the kingdom. Here he is in that tree. So Jesus came to the place, looked up, and said, "Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. I'm going to have a meal with you." Happy Thanksgiving, Zacchaeus. I got something for you to be really thankful for, young man. I got something for you to be really thankful for. Jesus came to the place, right time, right moment. Have you had that? Can you point to it? Can you tell someone about your moment where you saw Jesus and you sought him? Little did you know he was seeking you to save you, to give you eternal life. That's our God. And he looked. He came to the spot, and it says he looked at him. As a rabbi in that culture, you would not even look at Zacchaeus, let alone talk to him or touch him. You don't even look at him. And he looks at him, and he says his name, Zacchaeus. Guess what his name means? Perfect timing, Mark. His name means clean, righteous, pure. Ooh. His mom and dad might have said, "Boy, we started with a good name. He didn't turn out so well." And Jesus says, "I can take that name that has now been despised and rejected and ruined and not a Christian and bring it right into the family." And Jesus says, "I got to eat with you today. We got to have table fellowship." You do not have table fellowship with a sinner and a tax collector. Never. Because you're saying to them, "I love you. I affirm you. I'm okay with you." That's what you're saying when you eat with them. My wife and I make a habit of entertaining people that you're not supposed to eat with. Because I believe in the moment of table fellowship, when Jesus broke the bread on the road to Emmaus, you break bread with people, the Bible says he opened their eyes and they saw who he was. You have meals with people, you love them where they are, and you watch the miracle of Jesus opening their eyes. It's incredible. A friend named Martin I was reffing football with, and Martin was an advocate of an aberrant sexual lifestyle for years and struggling. And we invited him over, and to this day, he says, "When I had ice cream with your wife, everything changed." And a year later, Martin got cancer and had his tongue removed and almost died. And we prayed with him through that entire scenario. And last year, online, I watched the baptism of my friend Martin at White Rock Church in British Columbia, excited about Jesus and telling his church, "We got to stay to the foundations of the Christian faith." I've seen it happen. Break bread with people, he'll open their eyes. Jesus comes to the place, "Hurry, this is your moment. Come down now. I'm staying over your house tonight." And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Ooh, that'll preach. Do you receive Jesus joyfully every minute of every day? He received him joyfully. And when you receive Jesus joyfully, I have good news and bad news. You're going to have great fellowship with God, and people are going to hate your guts. Hurry down, come down, and they all grumbled. The people grumbled. He's going to be a guest of a sinner. This is my favorite Greek word to date. That word grumbled? Dion gongenzumai. Remember when we were kids and we learned onomatopoeic phrases? Buzz sounds like it is. It's an onomatopoeic phrase. They were grumbling and complaining that Jesus saved people. May it be said of Mount Forest First Baptist Church, people keep coming to Jesus at that place, and may they get angry with you. That would be great. We'll pray that into your lives. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And of course, Zacchaeus stands up. I'm going to make a declaration. Behold, Lord, Master King God, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've ripped anybody off, I'm going to restore it fourfold. He stands up, gives the Lord glory, and then he does the whole retribution repentance thing that is in honoring and indicative of their times. In fact, he says, I'm going to pay back four times. And when you pay back fourfold, there's a one-fold payback, there's a 20% payback, and there's a fourfold payback in Exodus. You can find it. And guess what happens when you pay things back fourfold? It means your crime was violent, deliberate, and malicious. He says, I'm going to pay it all four. I'm going to give away half, and then I'm going to pay the rest fourfold. I find that so interesting. If I've ripped anybody off, I'll pay him back four times. Question, I know the Molek company would never rip anybody off, but let's just say you did. Would you keep a record of that? Well, here's the rip-off account. No. So you know one of the things Zacchaeus is doing? What the rich young ruler didn't do. He says, if I ripped anybody off, line up tomorrow morning, I'll pay you back fourfold. I think he gives the rest of his money away the next day, because they're going to line up and tell him they ripped him off, and he can't have any records of it. Little Dan Horn interpretation there. You can look it up, but it doesn't exist. This is my thought. And he says, like the rich young ruler wouldn't say, Jesus, I'm ready to give everything up and follow you, because now that I got you, I don't need any more. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this home, because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I don't know about you, but wow, that's really worth being thankful for. You have a King of Glory who sought you and me and those listening who might not know him. He's pursuing you to this moment. And all you need to say is, like a little child, okay, thank you. I'll jump into your arms, and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. And it won't be easy, but it will be glorious. Let's pray. Father, we love your word, and we love you. And we want to embody your word every minute of every day, and it is impossible. So we throw ourselves on your mercy and say thank you for the glorious inheritance given to the saints to be called your sons, your daughters who bear your name. May we bear that name well. And if anybody within reach of my voice does not bear your name, I pray that through your broken body on that tree and your poured out blood to save them, you would open their eyes and they would receive you today. Because today is the day of salvation. And we want to urgently come down from those trees that we're hiding in and say, Jesus, we want to be your friend. We love you, Lord. Amen. My wife.